It is Metro FM Talk with me, Notemba, and we're getting into the last minutes of our conversation here on Metro FM Talk. And we're speaking to Sipho Ngwema. He's the head of communications at the Competitions Commission. As we know, school uniform, as many parents know, is not the cheapest thing to purchase, no matter how thrifty you may think you are. Well, the rate at which children lose items and even just outgrow the uniform make it even more expensive and can actually hit the pockets very hard. So what would really hurt parents more is just finding out that the industry has been price fixing. Well, Sipho Ngwema, the head of communications at the Competitions Commission, is on the line to discuss this price fixing in school uniform industry. Sipho, a very good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Notemba, and thanks as well for having us on the program.
Yes. So what sparked the investigation by the communications, I mean, by the Competitions Commission in the first place?
Since 2015, we've been receiving complaints from parents who were forced to buy from one supplier, and also suppliers who were not given an opportunity to get into the industry because schools had agreements with one supplier, and some agreements they had gone on for a very long time. And the problem was that when you have one supplier and you are forced to buy from one supplier, you'll be forced to do so irrespective of the prices, irrespective of the quality, because the school has an arrangement with that kind of, or with that particular supplier.
And they insist on the uniform being of that nature, which only comes from that supplier.
Exactly. I mean, they would even change simple things like socks or a shirt in order to know or to make sure that you cannot get anywhere else but from that particular supplier. So they will introduce things that will make it exclusive so that you can only get it from that particular one supplier.
So how was the investigation conducted, Sipho?
We had to interact with all those schools, but also given the fact that we realized that this was pervasive, and you have thousands of schools in the country. So what we tried to do in the first phase was to try and change the behavior, try and educate schools about the illegalities of what they were doing, because the conduct was exclusive in nature. It was against the Competition Act, because Competition Act encourages more competition so that parents or customers can have choices from more than one supplier. So we interacted with the schools, but given the fact that we realized that we are getting more, so we had to escalate this to a national investigation. So we opened the case, and we concentrated largely on the big schools, particularly the private schools, who also had got some links with some of the suppliers. So we did that in 2017, extending it nationally, but in the end, we had to involve school governing bodies. We had to involve the Independent Schools Association to make sure that we talk to parents, because what we're trying not to do is to drag schools to litigation, because you must remember, at the end, it's still the very same parents that we're trying to assist who are going to pay for that litigation. But also the mandate of schools is not to be in tribunals and courts, but it's to be at school. So we tried to make sure that we talk to schools and they change their behavior.
Who was benefiting besides the suppliers, I can imagine? How were the schools benefiting from this price fixing? For the fact that they were part of this?
Yes. Look, partly some of the schools would get some kickbacks from the suppliers, or there would be some markup, and there would be some sharing of some profit sharing in terms of the arrangements. But in some situations, you will find that the supplier has got a long relationship with the school or is related to someone in the governing body.
Yeah.
And all those casual things. So those are the things that came forward to us. But we tried to say, let's focus on advocacy. Let's focus on making sure that schools change their behavior. But if then they defy, and then we can then come with much more heavier stick so that they can understand that we mean business.
Mm.
But as I said earlier, we don't want to drag them into litigation because also we are parents and we understand this burden will pass on to parents.
Mm.
But we need schools to comply in order to alleviate the burden that is already on the parents. And the other thing is that most of the parents are single parents and they are trying to get quality education.
Mm.
And some of these kids stay very far away from these schools. And now they must invest in transport and then they must get another hurdle for school uniform. And you must remember in some schools there is sports items and so on and so forth.
For, yes.
You then have this artificial barrier of parents not being able to keep up with those kinds of schools, given the fact that you have got these new impediments that are introduced.
Mm. And you know, just even just reading these figures, Wenasipo, 1,595 schools, which you as a commission had samples, out of those, 287 school governing bodies and 414 parents found that a third of the private schools and former Model C school actually indicated that they had exclusive school uniform deals with these uniform suppliers. And is this only happening in private schools and Model C schools? Are they in government schools, this does not happen?
No, it happens a lot as well. It's not only in private and former Model C schools.
Mm.
It also happens a lot in public schools. And in fact, we have now also got complaints that some schools, also in the public schools, are changing uniform almost every year. You must remember, in order for them to create business for these suppliers, you need to make some changes so that there's more demand.
Mm.
So we are getting those kinds of complaints, but we are dealing with them. And we have and now a memorandum of understanding with the Federation of Governing Bodies, which is going to assist us in monitoring this.
Mm.
And they are going to try and educate these governing bodies. But if they fail, then they'll bring them to us so that we can prosecute them.
Yeah. I'm speaking to Sipho Mngwema. He's the head of communications at the Competitions Commission. And we're talking about the school uniform price fixing. If you'd like to comment, please, or even you have a question, give us a call on 089-110-3377. I'm going to take a break, Sipho. And when I come back, I want to find out what is the agreement that you have reached with the schools. Okay.
Right.
After the break. The Proudly South African Buy Local Summit and Expo takes place at the Sandton Convention Center on the 12th and 13th of March 2019. If you're a business startup, come and get survival tips on the 12th of March. And if you're in procurement, learn to leverage local on the 13th of March. The expo exhibits high-quality local products and services and is open for consumers and business on both days. For more information, visit www.buylocalsummit.co.za. It is Metro FM Talk with me, Notemba, and we are having a discussion on the school uniform price fixing, and an agreement has been reached with the Competitions Commission with several schools who have being found to be guilty of anti-competitive behavior. And my guest is Sipho Mngwema. He's the head of communications at the competition. Sipho, what is this agreement that you have reached with these schools?
Yes, thank you, Matemba. We had discussions, but I must say that the schools that we approached, given their size and also the fact that they also sold uniform and we're investigating for exclusive behavior. We're at the tech, St. Andrews Girls and their school uniform shop trust.
Mm.
We went to Turo. Turo also had Grit, which was procuring their uniform from, and their parents were buying from there.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired schools, which also included Red and House schools and Red for House schools. We then reached an agreement with these schools that we need, they said they were not going to plead guilty. We said, fine, but we need to reach an agreement so that going forward, we have a regime that is going to give us guidelines in terms of how they should play. So basically, they agreed that school uniforms should be as generic as reasonably possible, meaning that it should also be obtainable from as many suppliers as possible.
Mm-hmm.
They also agreed that schools should preferably appoint more than one supplier where they feel that they need to have a contract, so that when you have can then have more than one supplier, the parents are able to shop around, check prices, compare prices and quality, and then buy from one of your suppliers, not necessarily be forced to obtain it from one supplier. And exclusivity, we said, should be limited to those items that the school feels that they should be exclusive, and probably either a blazer or badge or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of the items should be generic, as we agreed earlier. And also, schools should follow a competitive bidding process in appointing those suppliers, so that they have then a period where, within a particular cycle, they're able to come back and open the bidding process for more suppliers, so that even parents who have opened businesses who want to sell school uniform can be able to tender.
Yes, because I'm thinking now it's opening the industry to others to also start the business of supplying school uniform.
Yes, indeed. And then we also said, that contract should be limited, because in one instance we found that the contract was going on for more than 40 years with one supplier. But we said, no, that must come to an end. The period must be between 3 to 5 years. So every interval of between 3 to 5 years, we need to go back, as we agreed, to the market, tell the market that we are opening up. They must then tender. And then you must be able to come up with a clear and transparent criteria. And everybody must understand how you then appointed a particular or those particular suppliers that your parents should buy from. So all of us, we have agreed, and FEDSAS has also agreed, which is the Federation of School Governing Bodies. They are responsible for governing bodies largely in the public sector, and that also includes your villages. And then there's Independent Schools Association of South Africa. They represent about 800 independent schools, private schools. So they also party to this agreement that they are going to educate their schools in order to make sure that they stick to the issues that I have mentioned, in order to open up the industry, as you said, for more parents who have got business to be able to tender, but also for parents to be able to have more than one choice.
And have choice.
Yes, when they buy uniform. Because if there's only one guy who supplies, that guy can charge as much as he likes, and nobody is going to be able to go anywhere, because you are forced as parents to buy from that person. So,
but then, Sipho,
that must come to me.
How sure are you that the schools will adhere to this agreement? How are you going to monitor that?
The schools did cooperate with us. However, we rely on the parents. The parents are the ones who will be bearing the brunt of exclusive behavior. But also, we are also going to be monitoring this school. We have also spoken, as I said, to the governing bodies, and they have also agreed that they will educate them, but those who do not want to listen, they will report them to us. But I must emphasize the fact that the parents have got a huge responsibility. It is the governing bodies that appoint these exclusive companies. And they do that at the expense of the parents. So parents must be involved in this process at school, so that they can also protect themselves from exploitation and this kind of exclusive conduct.
Do we see a future of South Africa where the school uniform is just uniform for all schools? The only difference is a badge.
Look, that decision rests with the parents. It is the parents who, at different individual schools, who take those decisions. But of course, with trying to make it as generic as possible, is to say you do not really have to focus on these exclusivities, because the focus of schools is to educate.
Mm-hmm.
And please alleviate the burden from the parents' point of view of spending more money on uniforms. But the schools will decide what kinds of uniforms they want. It is their prerogative. But from the Competition Act point of view, try and make sure that there's competition, try and make sure that there's more than one supplier, so that the parents who are consumers are not forced to buy from one supplier who may not necessarily be the cheapest or has the best quality.
Yeah. But I think most important out of this is the responsibility of the parents. And I think as the Competitions Commission, what do you want to say to the parents to as far as getting more involved and being part of the decision making? Because at the end of the day, it all going to come out of their pocket.
Yes, indeed, Notemba. I cannot say it better. The parents must be involved in the activities of the school. They must be involved in the governing bodies. They must monitor what the governing bodies are doing, because at the end of the day, those decisions affect them. But in order for us to be successful, in order for us to make sure that we keep the prices down, we keep the quality on top, they need to be involved. They need also to report to us those governing bodies and schools that are refusing to adhere to the guidelines that we've set.
And how do they get in touch with the Competitions Commission if they need to report?
They can go on our website, which is www.comcom.co.za, or they can call 012-394-1200. 012-394-1200. Those are our numbers in Pretoria, or they can go to our website, as I said, www.comcom.co.za.
Fantastic. Sipho Ngwema, thank you very much for talking to us on Metro FM Talk.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much as well for inviting us.
Absolute pleasure. He's the head of communications at the Competitions Commission. It's time for me to say goodbye and thank you so much for tuning in to Metro FM Talk. You know what time it is now? It is prime time, nighttime radio.